Eighth text. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Small correction.
What's
the verse is seven.
Seven. All right. We are reading from the seventh verse of the fifth canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yada na pashyati ata kuneham svarte pramataha sahasa vipasit gata smitir vindati tatra tapan asadya maitunyam agaryam agna yada. I'm trying to get the tune right here. Yada na pashyati ayaguneyam svarte pramatasahasya vapashyati katashmitir vindati tatratapan asajja maitunyam agaram agyana yadana. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the lowest stage of devotional life, one is not an unalloyed devotee. Aniyapilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritim. To be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of nature. The influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his household or life, which is centered around sexual intercourse. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is thus bound by the chain of material laws. Read the verse again. Yada na pashyati ayatagu. We see here the whole nature of the difference between material life and spiritual life. And we see that even if someone has great knowledge, that if he doesn't understand the endeavor for sense gratification is useless, he forgets his own interest. And we see, in a sense, this can become a problem because this presents a solution, but it also presents many problems at the same time that we have to deal with in our own lives and with persons, that we see that our very nature in coming to this material world is to try to enjoy sensually. And a particular highest kind of enjoyment is the enjoyment of sexual intercourse that one has in the material world, as it is mentioning here. But we find that this can become such a degraded position that at least for people there is the a chance, if they need this, to have married life and to have children. But still there can be so many difficulties involved that one becomes attached to the material world. So we have to understand first what our condition is in this world and what our condition is in the spiritual world, and how we can encourage ourselves and yet be merciful to others while they're encouraging them. Unfortunately, we see some great examples in this. So we find that our reason for being in this material world is basically, it is talking about our real interest. If our interest is sense gratification, we'll be bound to this material world. Because basically there are two kinds of consciousness: self-centered consciousness and Krishna-centered. And if we are Krishna-centered, then we become free from the material influence. But this is a gradual process that does not happen all at once. It happens by a regulative practice. And that is why we have to be careful of such things, of thinking, well, I have done so well spiritually for the last day, week, month, several years, I can rest on my laurels, and I don't have to chant so attentively, I don't have to come to programs, I don't have to understand the Shastra. It is kind of like eating. You may have eaten a big meal yesterday. You may have eaten such a big meal that you're not hungry this morning. But does it mean you never need to eat again? It doesn't need that. We find that we will be hungry again. And that is why when we chant rounds, we chant 16 a day. Not that we chant so many a month or so many a week. You may make a vow to do some extra, but it is a daily process that we must engage in. So we find that we are in this world because of this sense gratification. And in one case, we see that the difficulty is that the more one becomes self-centered, then we are all looking for some kind of feeling in life, some kind of reciprocation. And when we chant attentively and we put Krishna's name in our ears, we feel Krishna's presence and we feel automatically peaceful. So if we don't have this, then the soul is seeking pleasure. It is our nature to be free of pain and to experience pleasure. And so we want some kind of pleasure with a contact. So what happens when a person doesn't have, if they have not even very much Krishna consciousness, they will still have the attraction for sexual intercourse. But if they have none at all, then of course it will be a very strong influence on the mind. And if one experiences that pleasure, then he is not experiencing as much of Krishna's presence. And of course, if a person is already not interested in having a connection with Krishna or surrendering to Krishna, then he will become carried away by the sense gratification. And that is why that if one has to have the sense gratification, it is available in a regulated form. Because what happens is that we are meant to be satisfied, but somehow the material sense gratification, because it is not affecting our real soul. It's kind of like if you go to eat a meal and you take the dal and you pour it all over your dhoti. You think, well, it is close. I am this dhoti. I pour it on my dhoti. And you see that what happens is not only will you not become nourished, but you end up having a big mess. And so, just like there are coverings, just like the coverings get grosser, what is the ghost? The ghost is someone who has lost his gross covering, but he still has the covering of a mind and a false ego. So on top of the covering of the mind and a false ego and intelligence, we have the covering of a body. And on top of that covering, we put clothes. But just like the clothes are not us, if someone is very attached to his shirt and you pour dal on his shirt, oh, you have poured dal on me, he'll become very attached as if it is hurting him. But our body is kind of like the shirt. It is easier to experience pain through the shirt and the dhoti than it is to experience pleasure. If somebody pours hot dal on your dhoti, you will suffer, but it is very hard to enjoy through the dhoti because it is simply a piece of cloth. And so the material body is a casing. But because we want to identify with something, we come from Krishna and we are a part and parcel. Sometimes we forget that we are connected to Krishna, But we remember that we are part of something. Because Krishna is infinite. He does not need anything else. He is Atmarama. He is Farat. He is self-satisfied. But because we are a part and parcel of something, when we forget that we are meant to serve and be connected to Krishna, then we try to serve and be connected to something else. People are loyal to their nation. People are loyal to their job. And people want to find something to connect in. So they feel the ultimate connection is as being mentioned here, the connection that is there that in sexual intercourse, that one body is connected to another body. And the reason that would feel so natural to someone is because we want to be connected to something. Because we are meant to be connected to Krishna. That under the influence of material nature, we may forget Krishna. But the nature of the soul wants to be connected to something. Everyone is trying to be connected to something. Even when people talk as friends, they want to make a connection on a common level. Do they have something in common? People always ask, where do I know you from? They want to have this connection. So the greatest connection one can have in the material world is for a man to connect with a woman's body, because then he feels he is connected. It is true, he is connected. Then you feel something. But it may not be the most advantageous connection, because we are meant to be connected to Krishna. After all, if you want to feel a strong connection where the light socket is, if you stick your finger and you grab the electricity, you will feel a very strong connection. But it may not be a positive one. But when you are experiencing that, you will really be experiencing that. And that is what the connection is like. You have had that shock and you're shaking, but you will be thinking about nothing else. So the same way, what happens in the sexual intercourse is like that shock, is that one loses himself because he becomes connected to something else. So we find that that feeling is natural. We find the same thing that when we're chanting, is the time can seem to go quick, but at the same time, time slows down. We find sometimes if we take our beads and we chant one round very attentively, because we actually traveled a long distance during that time. Because the more we are concentrating on Krishna, the faster we are going. So that round may have taken 6-7 minutes, but yet it seems like a long time because we made a big connection during that time and we journeyed a long ways towards Krishna. So we must find that we will always be looking for some kind of connection. And that this connection of the sexual intercourse will be the driving connection if one is not firmly fixed in spiritual knowledge. And even if one gets married and has children, he doesn't want that to be his main connection. He wants his main connection to be with Krishna. So we must understand that we can strive for different standards. We can strive for the highest standard. But we have to encourage ourselves and others at the same time. And sometimes this is difficult, because if somebody is chanting 16 rounds and they tell you they are chanting 4, you will not be encouraged. Whereas if they went from 1 round to 4 round, then we should be encouraged with them. So we have to simultaneously try to move ourselves to the highest standard, yet encourage other people if they are moving at all. Sometimes this is a difficult way to get in our life, but it will actually help us to make advancement and help others to make advancement. The idea is that we should be intolerant of ourselves, but tolerant with others. And the way to really be intolerant is simply to add Krishna, to have that connection already. Because if we find we chant very attentively and that we find ourselves very fixed on Krishna, then we gain a very strong connection to Krishna and a very strong spiritual feeling and a strong feeling that what one is trying to get from that sexual intercourse, when they are in that feeling, there is no anxiety. They are connected to someone else and they are feeling no anxiety in life and they are feeling as if time has stopped and time doesn't exist. But the trouble is that then once that sexual intercourse is over, then what happens is that the demand for connection is there, but the supply cannot be as strong. Kind of like serving you a big plate, and you eat a little, and then it is taken away. Now your hunger even becomes stronger. If I tell you that you are fasting till noon today, you will accept that. Whereas if I serve you the plate of prasadam, and you get just enough to stimulate yourself, but then we take it away, you will even become more hungry, will you not? Because you have gotten just enough to get a taste, but not enough to fully satisfy yourself. And this is the way that the material connection works. It is kind of like this big tease. Oh, I'll give you something now. Oh, but I will give you something later. Because what happens in the material world, contrary to when we chant, we can keep that feeling. It is available to anyone. I found that. I took a little walk down to the Chowpatty beach and back. I saw a couple of other people chanting. It is easy. Anyone can chant and increase that condition. It is not that when I chant one round, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, someone takes away my beads and I can't talk and I'm trying to chant, but I can't get it, but I lost my ability at a certain point. But we find that the material sense gratification works this way. In India, they have a system of where they arrange marriages. But in the West, what happens is that somebody looks for a partner. They engage in sexual intercourse with this partner. And then they can't have more, so then the senses are demanding. And because the senses are demanding the sense gratification, it is hard to get the spiritual feeling. And at the same time, they are not satisfied. So it is just enough to take them away, but it is not enough to make them happy. But for that brief second, they did experience something similar. Just like a person takes the intoxication. When they take that, for a brief moment, time disappears and all the troubles go away. Now, for time not mattering and the troubles going away, this is natural. But the approach to it must be different. So we find that the person is involved with the opposite sex, a man with a woman, woman with a man. Then there is some trouble. They go through such anxiety, such difficulty. Oh my gosh, the woman has left. You see people, they sing songs about crying about this. My woman is gone, and so many songs with different words, but how, you know, now I lament, now I cry. And because they came attached to something that wasn't their eternal connection. Because when we become attached to Krishna, we don't lose it. And if Krishna is gone, we have to ask ourselves, who went away? Krishna didn't go away, we did. Krishna didn't disappear. Whereas a relationship in the material world, you may go away, or they may go away. At any time you want to approach Krishna, he's available. But one is trying to gain the same experience through a member of the opposite sex, but he may find they go away. So then we find that even if one is engaged, if one has a husband or wife and they are settled down, they find they have the sense gratification, but it still doesn't fill them to the supreme capacity. Their desire is unlimited, but the capacity is limited. We find this, that it doesn't totally satisfy the situation. And sometimes we find people will say, well, in India, that the husbands and wives don't leave each other. Sometimes they may not leave each other, but they may have problems, and they stay together, but they have left each other as far as feeling. You find that this can happen. If a husband and wife are together, but they experience some difficulty, they may stay together, but they may be miles apart. They may have great difficulty. So if the person is basing it on simply wanting to have this sexual intercourse, and for some reason one partner is unwilling or unable. See, here's the chances. If either partner is unwilling or unable to engage in the sexual intercourse, then there will be unhappiness. And it can happen very easily that each person become unwilling. People get older, they become unwilling. The desire is there, but they can't perform. They cannot have the sense gratification. Or their husband and wife do not like each other anymore. And then they think, well, maybe I should get rid of this one to find someone else I will eventually not like either. People joke that way. Oh, that's my next ex-wife, the person says. Because they know that even if they marry that person, they will dislike them and have to leave them. So we are not saying that in the other sense we understand that most people need to be married and need to engage in a life where they have children. So in one sense, the highest goal we must set is to look at a place where we want to ultimately be free completely from sense gratification, like the brahmachari and the sannyasi. But when encouraging others, in the ultimate goal, we want to be 100% Krishna consciousness. And the highest devotee is the Uttama Adhikari. So you would think that I would strive to be a first-class devotee, that that is what I should strive for. Is that not true? We should encourage people that they should strive, that they should start out trying to strive to be an Uttama Adhikari, first-class devotee. That is true, yes? Actually, it's not. It sounds like it should be. But we encourage people to start at this, to try for the second-class platform, the Majjhima Adhikari. Ultimately, the goal is to become the Uttama Adhikari, a 100% devotee. But it is such a lofty goal that we must strive first to become the Majjhima Adhikari, where we worship Krishna, we make friends with like-minded people, devotees like us, and we encourage innocent and we stay away from demonic people. And when we're encouraging innocent people, we must see whatever level they are on and try to encourage them. Because this is the difficulty. We don't want to become like the person who is telling others, oh, they should not engage in sense gratification, but I'm trying to pull myself down to this. We should try ourselves to be on a level where we are free from the material influences. But if we are not, we must simply set the goal and work on the goal to become more Krishna conscious. And that when we are encouraging others, we must help them get the highest goal. But at the same time, we must be very merciful. Because we will find that most people in this world will become engaged in sexual intercourse. It's being mentioned here in the verse. I know it's being mentioned in the verse, so we're discussing it. And so we find that for most people, that we want to help them set the goal of Krishna consciousness and work on being a Majjhima Adhikari, the second class, where they encourage other people. So what we do is that we encourage people to begin chanting Hare Krishna. And we try to get them to the stage of Anartha Nivritti. Now, Anartha Nivritti doesn't mean that we are 100% surrendered or free from sense gratification. Prabhupada says that Anartha Nivritti begins from 60% or 70% detachment. So we find that when we are encouraging others, that we try to be merciful and encourage them to want to come to this Anartha Nivritti. So we find that even if someone does engage in the sexual intercourse, if it's limited to marriage and begetting children, and that they are 60 or 70% detached. Because we find that whatever we are the most attached to, we will turn to. It is like they have a thing where the children play on the seesaw, right? And if a big child gets on this side, the little one goes up here and can't get off. So if our goal is to get off this seesaw, we must make sure that we put more on the Krishna side than any other. If this side is 70%, it will go down. If it's 50, we're going to be in trouble. So if we're more dependent, in the beginning what we're encouraging people is that maybe they are not 100% Krishna conscious, but they will get into trouble if they are more dependent on the people in their life, even if it's their wife or their children. They can have love for them, they can have concern from them. But the difference is when you become dependent. Because we find we can actually have more love for people when we are not dependent on them. We say, yes, I love you, and I'm encouraging you to be Krishna conscious, and I have care and concern. We find that the man who is woman who is dependent on other, they get worried when the other one spent too long at the market, and they accuse them, where were you? I needed you here with me. So if we are dependent on Krishna, then they can actually love more because they are happy to encourage that person. But they are not afraid that if they go outside that they will run away and do something or they will not come back quick enough for me. So we find that if we are more dependent on Krishna than on the people, even if they're people we love and care about, we will have this anartha nivritti stage and we will actually be able to have a better connection with them. We find that someone is too attached. That does not mean that they are giving more love. Detachment does not mean we don't care about other people. Detachment means that we are not affected by their actions. That's why we can preach to people and care about them. But if someone does the wrong thing, we are not attached to what they do. We are attached to giving them Krishna. So if they do something wrong, we don't have to suffer because they performed the wrong actions. So detachment doesn't mean we don't care. It just means that we are more attached to Krishna. So if we are attached to the things we have and the places we are at, getting the right car and the right boat, if we are more attached to that than Krishna, when we lose those things, we will become unhappy. So the whole idea is that's why we start the day. Maybe people have to do some work or go out and perform some function for the temple. But we find that the most important thing is usually the thing you do first, right? So if the first thing we do is that we have a Mangal Aarti and then we chant Hare Krishna on beads, we've set the day that is the most important thing. And encouraging others. Maybe some people live too far from a temple. Maybe they work early and they can only chant a few rounds and they can chant some later. But we can encourage them to start the day with Krishna consciousness. And we have to see each person where they're coming from. If someone is chanting a few rounds, then maybe we encourage them to come to the temple also. Or if they are coming just to the temple, encourage them to chant a few rounds. If they are not doing anything, then encourage them to start with one round. Sometimes this is a difficulty we have engaging people in Krishna consciousness. They need to start somewhere. And that is why we have a couple things I see is how we have groups in Krishna consciousness and how people encourage. I notice that like Radhanath Swami does and Jayapataka Swami, you know, they're both very strict sannyasis, but they're very encouraging to people and they're trying to look for the positive. They say, oh, it is so nice that you've come. It's so nice to come engage in chanting. So we see if we do the same thing that they are doing, we can get the same result. Not as much, but the simple thing. If you do what some people are doing, you will get what they get. So if you find that you are looking for the good in people and encouraging more, then you will get them involved. I'm not saying we can do as much as they can, but we will get similar result. It is only obvious that if you do what they're doing, you'll get the same result. When you encourage people to positively engage instead of looking for what faults they have. When we look for faults, we must realize we have our own that we have to look for. But if we try to encourage others to engage in Krishna consciousness in a positive way, then they will gradually become free from this material influence. But we see that this influence is so strong that it may even drag away some devotees. And so rather than being critical of them, we just try to have to keep ourselves engaged in Krishna consciousness and engage others in Krishna consciousness. We start the day with Krishna. So I like to read a story at night too. If you read a little story about Krishna before you go to bed and try to think about that, you know, remember the Leela that was being performed, whether Krishna was taking the cows out into the pasture or whether Krishna was fighting with the wrestlers in Mathura. If you can remember that, the Leela Smarana, I call it, remembering some kind of Leela. We go to sleep remembering. You know, we can go to sleep counting Krishna's cows. In America, some people count sheep, but we can count Krishna's cows and we can count the pastimes. And we go to sleep with a pleasing feeling. It is natural to be happy and have some kind of connection. We just have that connection through chanting and being connected. That's smarana to Krishna's pastimes. And of course, one doesn't have that. He will want the sexual intercourse because he wants to have a connection. We all need to be connected to something. Even the prisoner in the prison, even though the people are horrible association, he doesn't want to be put in the solitary confinement alone. If they put us in a prison, we probably would rather be there because we can associate with Krishna even when we're alone. We have Krishna's association. But for them, because they want to be connected with somebody, they would rather be with the other prisoners. So we don't want to be in this situation where we are ignorant people seeking ignorant association. That obviously comes to no good. But if we are seeking Krishna's association, then we can become purified. And if we can encourage others that whatever stage of life they are in, that even if they have family life, start the day with Krishna. And make them realize that becoming detached from matter does not mean they don't love. After all, which person would have more love? The man that says, oh, I love this attractive woman. I love her because her body looks so good. I know it is all mucus and pus, but all the mucus and pus seems to be in just the right place. And I love this one so much. But then we find she may have an accident or time makes her older. Oh, so now I don't, the mucus and pus has not formed so nice anymore. Now I will find someone else. But is this real kind of love? But if one is detached, it means he cares. The husband cares about the wife cares about the husband. But if they get a little older, we all get a little older, we notice this. When I first came to here, I was only 18 years old. And I'm glad the other devotees like Shyamashinder and that have not forgotten how Prabhupada said, oh, take care of him, he is a young boy. So I still feel like a young boy spiritually. But we all get older. I've come back to look for people who are here when I was here in 1971. And some of them have passed away, of course. Time gets long, they get older. So if the husband and wife get older, if they are detached and not caring about them from the bodily platform, then they will still care about them because they care about them as a spirit soul. So if they are detached from the body, that doesn't mean that they have less love. It means that they have more love. It still may mean that in Krishna consciousness, a husband and wife will be glad to see each other, glad to see the children, glad to see them happy and engaged in spiritual life. It doesn't mean that they leave them on the street somewhere to rot. It means they take care of them, but they are interested in taking care of their basic responsibilities and in seeing them grow spiritually. So we find that this being satisfied is natural. And we find that the drive to become satisfied will come naturally. So, you know, some kind of people think that the drive to become satisfied, oh, we will just forget all desires and not do that. But as devotees, do you think we try harder to get this drive to be satisfied or not as hard as the materialists? What do you think? Do we try harder for satisfaction or not as hard as the materialists? Which is it? Harder? Yes, it is harder. In a sense, because we are serving Krishna, we are not trying so hard. But because the satisfaction comes, we are trying harder. I mean, what materialists wake up at 4 or 4:30 in the morning to go? You know, you find even if the people are interested in the sexual intercourse, they will not wake up at that time, or nor will their partner be happy if they do. They will create great difficulty if they are striving this hard, and usually they don't. They simply want to sleep. But we find as devotees, we wake up early. If you want something, you wake up early to get it. We wake up early to come have this connection with Krishna. So if we try harder, if we want to be away from material life, then we have to wake up earlier and strive harder than the person who is materially engaged. And then we find that even if a person has a great attraction for material things, one may have attraction for sex, one may have attraction for some kind of intoxication. But if he tries to go even more towards Krishna, then the people are going to sense gratification, then he will also get more. Just like we see, if we do what the people are doing, we see that the great devotees are getting great satisfaction because they wake up early and they surrender to Krishna. The natural conclusion is that if I do like they are doing, if I surrender to Krishna more every day and I wake up early and chant attentively, then I will also get this satisfaction. So this is how we can base our life, is that that we can be conservative and be liberal at the same time, because we find by being liberal and understanding with others that if people are engaging even in a little devotion, that we should be encouraged with the advancement they're making. You know, whatever level they are on, we want to encourage them to keep it and to move to more. If I told you tomorrow, I think I'll only chant 8 rounds, then you would say, well, you've been doing 16. It may be harder to jump to 64 a day, maybe in Vrindavan and Ekadasi, but if you're busy with other things. But if you're already doing it, then you don't have to find the time. Some people say that it is quality of devotion that is important. And we say, yes, it is only the quality that is important. And that's why we are serving the best quality of prasadam, but there's only one grain of rice. So also, quantity is important. So we don't use the argument of quantity versus quality. We want both. But of course, the good thing is if we are already chanting 16 rounds, we can make it quality. Because if I'm already doing it, I don't have to find the time. If I'm not doing it, I have to take the time from somewhere else. So it is much easier to go from chanting 16 rounds that are maybe not as good to chanting good ones, because at least we have already found the time to do it. But with others, we may encourage them, start with one. And that is why when we do the Bhakti Vriksha programs in America or here, we sit people down and they chant one round all in unison. Because if they've already done it once, it is easy to do it again. The same thing with the material sense gratification. If they've done it once, when someone thinks, oh, I will just go out and have the sexual intercourse once, then they either become very disgusted with themselves and lament, end up in motive ignorance, or so attracted that that's all they can think about. But the same in reverse. If we start someone and sit them down, they chant one round and they are happy from it, then you tell them, try the same thing tomorrow. Try it again tomorrow and chant one round regularly and then move to 4 rounds. Because we find that quite often we don't have to wait to get people started. Tell them, start chanting one round. Because maybe it is difficult for us to find the time to chant 64 rounds, and maybe it is difficult for someone to find 16 who is not already doing it, but they can chant one. So we have to be strict on ourselves, where we are at, but at the same time we have to see how the devotees who are encouraging many more are the ones who only seem to be looking for the positive and trying to help people grow on the positive. Because if we grow on the positive and others grow on the positive, then the material sense gratification's influence will gradually cease. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu? Oh. No questions? It is so glad to be back here after so many years. I'm hoping today I'm trying to call some of the old people who had been here like many years ago, but it is good to come back here to see so many devotees who have, after this time, advanced so far from where I am. They are newer devotees, but I know there are so many people who are very advanced here. And I know that Bombay, or Mumbai as it's called now, has gone on nicely because he seemed to be encouraging so many people to engage in devotion. And that's the way Prabhupada did it when he came here. He had programs at people's houses. He would ask different people to speak. I remember once we went to the Indian movie producer, J. Om Prakash's house. Maybe people don't remember him now, but he's produced many movies back then, the famous ones he produced back in the 70s. And we went to his house, and many of the famous Indian movie stars were there. And Prabhupada asked Dr. Bali to speak. Dr. Bali's wife was a dancer, Vijayanti Mala. If anybody knows where she is, we would very much like her to come to this program, because Dr. Gutbally got up and spoke, and he said that we give so much money to taxes. He says we can give a little to Krishna to become the life member, and that Srila Prabhupada is going all over the world to encourage people to Krishna consciousness. And these people are giving their lives, and Srila Prabhupada at such a young age is giving so much of his energy to preach all over the world. We can simply give the 1,111 rupees. Back then the rupee was worth about five times what it is now, so that was a lot of rupees. And after he gave that speech, about 30 Indian movie stars got up, including the Kapoors and Rajesh Khanna, and people of that caliber all became life members that night. So in Mumbai, it was begun by the devotees encouraging people, just like the leaflets were given out, because if I try to do it all, but if you encourage some people to get some friends, and they go out and pass out leaflets to the program, they bring people to the temple. Because preaching can go all the way from somebody explaining the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam to just down to showing someone where the temple is, showing them how to chant on beads. And we find that even new people, they can show where the temple is, they can show somebody how the mantra is, they can show them how to hold beads. So we start out as a preaching movement that everybody can encourage somebody. And that is why the Madhyamadikari platform, they are learning from people above them, they are making friends with people on their level, and they are teaching other people. And you can begin teaching, even if you tell someone, take this book and read it, it is making my life very happy, and it is making me get a goal in life. If that's all you can say, it's a good start. So everybody can begin teaching others. And that is the importance, is that we have to encourage ourselves, but at the same time be very positive with others, and we will get the same results. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, just one question.
Yes, of course.
You were mentioning that you were there in the 1971 program.
Yes.
You could mention something about it, what you remember about that program?
Oh, I'll only give a little now because there's so much to tell. I'll tell a little. I'll tell a little now. We can tell more stories about it later. Well, this starts with a good part of how if we are serving Krishna, even if we get some desire, Krishna will work it out. I was in Paris, France, and it was freezing cold. And I said, Krishna, I will make you a deal. If you get me out of this cold, I promise never to complain about heat. And 3 days later, a letter came from Prabhupada saying, please send 3 brahmacharis to India. So we got on a plane the end of March. It was still snowing. But the end of March here, it is very hot already. But I had promised not to complain about heat. But the good part is that even if there's some desire, if we're trying to serve Krishna, Krishna arranges it so that there I can be with Prabhupada and be with the devotees. I remember being initiated there. And I remember Prabhupada had Radhanath Swami sit right next to me. He was sitting here and Prabhupada was chanting on my beads. And I remember that special moment on March 27th, 1971, when we had a program like this one. But it was probably more difficult because I thought Shyama Sundar was very old then because he was 29 years old. And he was the old one. He was 29. The rest of us were all younger. I was 18. And there was no other Indian brahmacharis to help. And we put on a big program. And people hadn't known yet today, there are so many people here available to help. There are so many people involved in the support. And Prabhupada wanted us to do these big kind of programs because we find from that so many people, like 35,000 people came that night. I still meet people who are there at that initiation. And I hope to meet many more during the time before the festival and the festival who came to that, because that was special. If they got to come there when Prabhupada was beginning a Krishna consciousness in Mumbai, that, of course, it was Bombay then, but so many people came to see that. And then it was easy to go out for them to make members. They would call after that and say, did you see our Cross Maidan festival? And people, even if they hadn't seen it, they'd heard about it. Did you hear about it? Yes, we did. Did you hear about, they called the program, the Cross Maidan program. And then they would say, Well, we have another program to discuss with you. Of course, the program was Life Membership, but the Cross Maidan opened the door to explain and to get other things involved and to make things happen. And so from here we see the same thing will happen again, that we will encourage more people to come. And there are so many stories to tell, but the people would come. And I think now they're even more interested. Then they would also say, where have you come from? How long are you staying? And people were rubber stamping themselves Hindus. Whereas now, because we have shown that people in the West, we don't just say, well, I'll call myself a Hindu or I'll call myself a devotee. To us, it's not so important to what we believe as what we are practicing. You know, we ask people, what are you practicing? How much are you chanting? We know, what do you believe? Because you can believe that there's prasadam, but if you don't eat it, you will still be hungry. So we got many people started in Krishna consciousness from that program. And every night Prabhupada would speak. And it was especially good the night of the initiation. My godbrother Vegavan and his wife Padmavati were married at that time, and other devotees. There was Indian devotees, Vardhan and Mahamsa, and a French boy named Darsha, and Dravida, who later became a sannyasi, Pancha Dravida. And we all got the fortune of being initiated by Prabhupada that night, March 27th, 1971. So I'm so glad to come back to here and get the association of so many devotees here. It is so wonderful to see you all. And I know the next times that there will be even more. Just like then, we had a little temple on Warden Road on the 7th floor of the Akash Ganga building. And then they got the Juhu land, and now there's Juhu, and there's Chaupati, and there's Mira Road. And, you know, we find that the temple kind of vibrates the whole neighborhood. I see people, one person working at the juice bar is wearing tilak, and people who are here wearing tilak, and they're all saying Hare Krishna. And if we can gradually influence other people to take it up, even if it's not as much as us, if we can influence them to chant on beads. Chanting on beads is a good thing, because if we are going to have a kirtan, it requires several people. But to chant on beads, we find that this is a good thing to influence people. And Krishna says, of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, japa. So we find if we can get people started in this, start with one round. Take these beads, chant one round. And that is why when we do the little groups, we find that that is one reason why Chaupati is successful also, is that you have the big group, but you also have the council groups, the small groups, where even though the temple has one big group, they also each have smaller groups that they can get together with and they can discuss. Because sometimes this philosophy is a big package. It's like having a tool, but how do I use this tool in my daily life? And that is why in our Bhakti Vriksha groups in America, we read a verse of Bhagavad Gita, and then we talk about what it means and how to apply it in life. Because, of course, it may be more difficult there. If you're in a temple here, you know what to do. But if people there are working, and they're working around some people who are not as favorable, you know, when do I bring out Krishna consciousness, and when do I teaching people how to apply this? The more they're involved in family life or dealing with difficult people, then applying the philosophy becomes a little more difficult. But we'll tell more stories about the first Cross Maidan later. But it was, we'd go out and do Harinama and pass out flyers then too. And we had just the posters on the buses. And there was a big banners to tell people to come. And it got Krishna consciousness open to this town. Everybody in the town heard about that. You'd ask people at the time, they heard about it. Even later, people now ask them if they heard about the original one. You know, even people who are children. There may be some people who are children who came there. But it would be interesting to see how many people come now who are actually there then. And I plan to find some of those people. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.